ערב טוב רבותיי, nice to see you all, שבוע טוב, גשמק המייסס. So, hard to believe, but we're less than a week away from Chanukah. So, I want to start at the request of Rabbi Shmulevitz, I want to start talking about some of the dinim. We'll come back, I know I promised you a series on Yashan and other such stuff, so we will return Bezat Hashem, but now let's take a detour. I like to speak about these, you know, the Chagim and you know, as they come up. So, first of all, just a little bit of historical background about Chanukah and Purim, which is very, you'd be surprised how many people are just confused about the history involved, and I'll explain to you why it's important to know the history of Chanukah and Purim as it comes to the halachot in a moment. I'm not here to tell you, you know, history. You don't need me for that, but it's important. Although, in you know, through the Ma'agal HaShana, through the cycle of the year, Chanukah comes before Purim, but chronologically, historically, that's not the way it happened. The Nes of Purim happened between Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni. Am Yisrael were in Galut Bavel for 70 years. Now, it wasn't all 70 years Galut Bavel. They went to Galut. Bavel destroyed the first Bet HaMikdash. They took Am Yisrael to Bavel in Galut, most of them, at least. There was a very small contingent of Am Yisrael that remained in Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Yeah, anybody sound familiar, the name? Yeah. Tzom Gedaliah. Yeah. When he was murdered, and then really the last Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael fizzled out, and that's when the rest of Am Yisrael went to Bavel. Now, know you that Galut Bavel really started 11 years before Churban Bet HaMikdash. That's when the Charash v'Hamasgir, that's when the Sanhedrin and the Yeshivot, most of the time the Chachamim, went to Bavel with HaMelech Yehoyachin, also known as Yechonia. So that was 11 years prior to the Churban Bet HaMikdash. His uncle was the king at the time of the Churban Bet HaMikdash, HaMelech Tzidkiyahu. He was also, he was murdered by the Bavlim at the time of the Churban, and then Am Yisrael went to Bavel. Bavel was later overcome. They were conquered by Paras, by Madai. Slicha, Madai, Media, it's like a, I don't know where it is exactly, but it's in that landmass of the Middle East somewhere. And then Madai was taken over by Paras. Okay, so it was really in that 70 years, Am Yisrael were in Galut, but the control of the government kept on changing. Bavel, Madai, Paras, hence Ahasuerus. Well, first, even before Ahasuerus, there was Koresh, and then there was, now Koresh the first was a pretty nice guy. The Gemara says in Masechet Megillah that originally he gave permission to rebuild the Bet HaMikdash, but he changed his mind because of Lashon Hara, that people were speaking against Am Yisrael, so he was, you know, not the best guy. Then there was Dariavesh HaRishon, who wasn't for a long time. And then there's Ahasuerus, and that's when the whole Nes of Purim happened. By the way, the Nes of Purim happened the last 14 years that Am Yisrael were in Galut. The whole Nes of Purim took 13 years to happen. The very tail end of what we call Galut Bavel, the 70 years that Am Yisrael were exiled to Bavel, and then Nes of Purim happened, and then after that, it was decided, then there was the king after Ahasuerus died. Ahasuerus died 2 years after the Purim story. You know that. After the Nes Purim, he lived another 2 years, and then Allah. Whether or not Dariavesh HaSheni, not in Persian, they usually say Kurosh and Darius, Zenonachon. Dariavesh v'Koresh. Yeah, that's the, Nachon?
Every person has
that's what they say.
That's what they say. But what it is, if you look in the Ketuvim, if you look in Sefer Ezra v'Nehemiah and all of the other Ketuvim, it's Koresh, Kaf, Vav, Resh, Shin, and Dariavesh, Dalet, Resh, Yod, Vav, Shin. I can see where it became Dariush because you can mistakenly pronounce it like that also. Avalom Shane. So, Dariavesh HaSheni was a Melech Shel Chesed. He fully allowed the Bet HaMikdash to be rebuilt, and also Koresh HaSheni. They allowed the Bet HaMikdash to be rebuilt under the leadership of Ezra v'Nehemiah. Ezra was the Gedol Ador. He was the leader of Am Yisrael. Nehemiah was also a tremendous tzaddik. He was the architect of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh v'HaMikdash. He was the architect. That was Ezra Kohen HaSofer and Nehemiah ben Hachaliah. That was their names. Now, Ezra Sofer had a very, very difficult time. There were millions of Jews in Galut. How many people, how many Jews did Ezra come back to Eretz Yisrael with for the...
10,000.
No, 40. 40,000. It says it's a pasuk in Sefer Ezra. For all of his encouragement and excitement and getting people to go back, can you imagine? Bye, Chini, we're going home, huh? Out of the millions of Jews that went to Galut, that were born in Galut, that all these things, 70 years, it's at least two to two and a half generations, 40,000 Jews came back. And Ezra Sofer was very upset about that. There were certain keilot that Ezra cursed for not having come back. There's Levim, many of them lost their Leviyah because of that when they came back, because he gave, there's a Gemara in several places, also in Ketubot, that he transferred Ma'asir to the Kohanim because the Levim didn't want to come back. It was a whole balagan. So, not only that, when Ezra Sofer came back to Eretz Yisrael, among the 40,000 Jews, he had major, major Yehus issues, major lineage issues. There were a lot of Jews who were married to Goyot, a lot of Goyim who were married to Jewish girls, children. Yehus was a balagan adir, Nashim Nochriot. He had to start making seder. It was a big thing. Real Jews from non-halachic Jews, real Kohanim from the fake Kohanim. It was a whole big balagan. It took a few years. They rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. Now, the second Beit HaMikdash stood not so much longer. The first Beit HaMikdash stood for how long? 410 years. Mikdash Asa Shlomo HaMelech stood for 410 years. Now, the second Beit HaMikdash stood for 420 years. Fast forward about 200 years or so. Let's say 200, 210 years or so. Historically, the story of Hanukkah didn't happen, just like Purim didn't happen in a day. The story of Purim spanned over 12 years, like I told you. The story, and you can read that, by the way, in the Psukim, Bishnat Shalosh Lamalchuto, Bishnat Sheva Lamalchuto, Bishnat Shtem Esre. Look in Megillat Esther. You see different events occurring at different times. So, the story of Hanukkah also was a progression. It didn't happen all at once. It happened more or less smack in the middle of Beit Sheni, which is about 200 years or so into Beit Sheni. That's when they were always under Yevani rule. Now, for lack of a better definition, people usually translate Yavan or Yevanim as Greeks. That's not entirely true, because at that time, they were Greek in culture, but their home base wasn't really in Greek. Their home base was really more in Ashur, because the Greeks overcame the Persians and the Bavlim together. Like I told you, kingdoms kept on conquering one another. So the Yevanim conquered Parasumadai. The Yevanim were based out of Ashur. Ashur is Bavim, Assyria. Hence, you probably have heard the term Assyrian Greeks. That's because, not Syrian, Assyrian. Ashur is Bavim, Mesopotamia. So they were Greek. They came from Greece originally, but when they made their mission to the Middle East, they overtook that whole region of Bavel, Paras, Madai, that whole situation in the Middle East. Hence the name. They were Yevanim, but Assyrian Greeks. Now, there's a very interesting Gemara, and you'll see in a moment why I'm saying this. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, that although most mitzvot aseh she'azman grama, women are exempt from, that we know, yeah? For instance, give me a few examples. Lula, sukkah, lula, shofar, tzitzit, filin. Where do we learn it out from? The Gemara says, Meforash, Masechet Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph. We learn Daf Lamed, Slicha. The Gemara says, first we learn out Torah. How do we know that women are patun mitalmud Torah? Shine'emar, v'shinantam levanecha. Levanecha, velo livnotecha. That's drasha. Once women are patun mitalmud Torah, the Gemara says, hey, wait a second, let's make a hekesh. What's the hekesh? What's the juxtaposition? It says in Parashat Kadishni, Lema'an tiyeh Torat Adonai beficha. It calls tefillin like Torat Hashem. The Gemara makes a hekesh. Just like we've already established that women are patun mitorah, so too, they're also patun mitfillin. Now, says the Gemara, once they're patun mitfillin, what's special about tefillin? Tefillin is mitzvat ase she'azman grama. So too, they're going to be patun from all other mitzvot ase she'azman grama. Now, There are reasons given among the poskim for why that is. Most famous of which is because women are entrusted with child raising, and therefore they're considered always, that's their mitzvah. Their mitzvah is raising Dorot Yishanim Evorach. Moshivi Akeret Abayit. She's supposed to be the foundation of the house. And therefore Hashem said, since they are busy with the mitzvah of raising children, Letorah u'mitzvot, that's also Begeder Ha'osek B'mitzvah, Patur Me'amitzvah. And even though they're not always busy in that mitzvah, sometimes they're single, sometimes they're pregnant, sometimes they're empty nesters. You know what empty nesters are? You never heard that phrase?
Yeah,
empty nesters are when they get older and all the kids, you know, get married and fly the coop. Yeah, what are you saying?
I feel like now, like...
There's also snowbirds. You know what snowbirds are? Go to Florida for the winter.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what's cool. Yeah.
Like men are more busy than women.
So, okay. But that doesn't exempt us from...
That's why it doesn't make sense saying women only are taking care of the kids. They can't technically...
That's
work
a mitzvah.
For like 10, 15 years.
Work's not a mitzvah. Work is a klala. We're not saying that we're not making them patur because they're busy. It's because Osek b'mitzvah patur b'mitzvah. It's because Hashem said this is their mitzvah that they have to be dedicated to b'leva nefesh, and therefore Hashem decided berov chokhmato not to overburden them with the multitude of mitzvot that men have, so that they can focus on this tachlita chayim of theirs to raise these generations of banim uvanot. Now, that's one of the possible reasons. So, although that's the case in general, we know that there are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions, but very few. For instance, Kiddush v'Avdala, are women chayav? Why? The Gemara says, Masechet Shvuot etzei hekesh, Shamor v'zachor bedibur echad ne'imru. Yeah, Shamor v'zachor were said in the same dibur. Whoever is chayav in Shamor, what's the Shamor aspect of Shabbat? Melachot, yeah. Anybody who's obligated to abstain from melacha on Shabbat is also chayav in the zachor aspect of Shabbat, of kiddush ve'avdala ve'oneg ve'chule. Women are chayav in the shamor, so they're also obligated in zachor. Another exception, the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, achilat matzah, bilil pesach, are women chayav? Why? Hekesh. No, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says hekesh. Whoever is chayav to abstain from eating chametz, yeah, lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot lechem oni. In the same pasuk, what does the Torah say? Isur chametz, chiyuv matzah. What do the chachamim understand from these psukim? Whoever is chayav to abstain from eating chametz is chayav to eat matzah. Now, that's by deoraitas. Kiddush v'avdala, deoraita. Havdala, kiddush bevadai, havdala, ledaat rov haposkim, umaran shulchan aruch. B'siman resh tzaditet, havdala deoraita. Now, listen carefully. There are two examples, two exceptions to the rule. Mitzvot midrabanan, Chanukah ufurim. The Gemara says Masechet Megillah Daf Dalet that in the mitzvot of Chanukah and Purim, women are obligated. Yeah, Purim. Now it's interesting. They're not obligated in exactly the same way, and I'll discuss this in a few moments. Tell me a difference between the obligations of women on Purim and the obligations of women on Hanukkah.
They don't have to get drunk.
Nobody's supposed to get drunk. You're supposed to get a little tipsy. Lo, not trashed. Ktsat. There's no Maran Zichron Racha writes very, very strongly about it in Yechavedat. And also in Alo, Tzakil B'Yechavedat, Chazon Ovadia, Maran Zichron Racha says, Isur Gamur, to become drunk. Besimcha, to get a little tipsy, to get a little high, but high on alcohol. Yeah, bepurim. Hello, achshav ze Chanukah. Now, anyway, bekitzur, what? Women, how many mitzvot do you have on Purim?
Four
mitzvot. Women are obligated in all four mitzvot. How many mitzvot are there in Chanukah? Nope. Uh huh. What are they? Hadlakat hanerot and halel ve'oda'a. Women are only chayav. The Rambam says mefurash. When we say that women are chayav, they're only chayav b'adlakat nerot Chanukah. They are patur me'amirat ha'alil. Hey, wait a second. The question is now, you know, now the question is formulated in everybody's mind. Hey, wait a second. If we say that both, by the women are chayav in both the mitzvot of Purim and Chanukah, because afhenayu be'oto anes, why don't we obligate women in all of the mitzvot of Chanukah as we do with regards to Purim? It's a very big question that Farshim Maran Kesef Mishneh, the Radbaz, and others ask on the Rambam. The simple answer to that, says the Radbaz, is because the Ikara Mitzvah on Chanukah is what? Hadlakat HaNerot. The Chachamim saw fit only to obligate them in the Ikara Mitzvah and not in the secondary Mitzvah of Halil. Whereas on Purim, all four mitzvot are the Ikar, because it has to do with the goof, all of them. Mikra, Megillah, Pirsum HaNes, and everything else has to do with the goof. Matanot Levinim, Mishloach Manot, Mishteh V'Simcha, they're chayven all of them. You want to ask something?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't the way that there we say Afiru Be'otu HaNes is based on this the story with the general that had...
I'm getting there. See Halacha Yomit. I'm getting there, yeah. get on to Halacha Yomit and Mitzuyam. Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Huh? It doesn't change. Yeah, go ahead. Pirsum HaNes is a vehicle. I'm sorry, slicha. Hadlakat Nerot is a vehicle to get to Pirsum HaNes. The mitzvah is Hadlakat Nerot. Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah. Which results in Pirsum HaNes. Now, listen carefully. What does Af Henayu Be'oto HaNes mean? They were also included in the miracle. Most Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfot, and others understand Af Henayu Be'oto HaNes to be at face value. They were also included in the miracle, which means both by Purim, Haman, Bikesh Haman, Lashmid, Laharog, Labed, Et Kol HaYehudim, Na'al Vad Zaken, Taf, Nashim, Biyom Echad. Haman wanted to destroy everybody. So therefore, when the Hatzalah came, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu salvation came, who's included in that salvation? Women as well. Pashut. Chanukah, the same thing. The same existential threat that hovered. Now, you should know, the Yevanim were much different in theory, not in practice, but in theory, than Haman. Haman had an agenda to annihilate, to physically murder all of Am Yisrael. And he was never ashamed of that. He never tried to hide that. The Yevanim didn't originally go that route. You know that. They didn't necessarily want to kill all the Jews, at least not openly. They wanted to assimilate them. They wanted to turn them into more cultured beings, you know, because we're, the way the Goyim look at us, we're antiquated. Yeah, we're behind the times, you know, and they see it, we belong in a museum. So they had to come and kind of bring us up to speed. That's what they wanted to do. When they saw that they were failing in kind of making us graduate and bring us up to the time, modernizing us and Hellenizing us, then they decided to kill us. Whatever it is, women were also included in that Nes Hatzalah of Chanukah as well. That's the simple baseline understanding of Af Henayu Be'oto HaNes. The Rashbam explains it a little bit different. Rashbam, who's Rashbam, you remember?
Rashi's
grandson, Rabbeinu Shemuel Bar Meir. Okay, he was son of Rashi's daughter. Rashi's son was Rabbeinu Meir. Also very famous because he was the older brother of Rabbeinu Tam. He was the older brother of Rabbeinu Tam. They argue quite a lot, especially in Masechet Baba Batra, which a vast majority of Masechet Baba Batra from Daf Kaftetin on is the Rashbam. The Rashbam takes over. Where else in Shas does the Rashbam take over? 10th Perek of Psachim, Nachon Arvei Psachim. Even though there's Rashi there also, but that it's very minimal. And the Ikara Pirush on the 10th Perek of Psachim is the Rashbam. Anyway, the Rashbam says a little bit of a different Pirush in Af Henayu Be'oto HaNes. He writes that it means not only were they included in the miracle, but the primary miracle came about, the vehicle to bring about the miracle was women. How so? Purim Pashut, Esther HaMalka. By Chanukah, what do you have? We have two ma'asim by Chanukah that Meor was referencing just a moment ago. Now, I want to just get things historically clear. Everybody knows there's a famous woman who is who's very, very involved in the Chanukah story. Her name is Yehudit. Yeah, everybody knows that. Now, many people I've heard mistakenly refer to Yehudit as Yehuda Maccabi's younger sister. That is fake news. That's not true. The story of Yehudit and Helifornos, who was the Assyrian Greek general at the time, you can find that story. By the way, there's no ketuvim. There's no nothing in Tanakh about Chanukah. There's nothing in there's very short passages in the Gemara about Chanukah. But there are what we call Sifrei Chitzonim, external works that discuss the Nisim of Hanukkah. Two references that you can get if you have access to Otzar HaChokhmah, or even if not, it's very easy to get these Sfarim. One is called Megillat Antiochus. That's a very, I recommend everybody to read it before Purim. Megillat Antiochus. And another one is called Sefer HaMakabim. Both of them have a historical perspective. Now, this is the Jewish perspective on the Nes of Hanukkah. There's also, if you want to see the non-Jewish perspective on Hanukkah, everybody knows Sefer Yosifun, which was the Greek historian Josephus Flavius. It wasn't only about that, it was things that happened during Bayit Sheni, but also a lot about Hanukkah, huh? It's hard to know.
Huh?
He probably was Jewish, yeah, but he was more Hellenized. Yeah, he doesn't write from a Torah perspective. Yeah, that's more of the non-Jewish perspective.
Doesn't we consider him like accurate?
Yeah. He's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah on Siman Shin Zayin, Seif, Yud Zayin, bring it down as one of the books that, like, our blue Mishnah Berurah, the mm-hmm. English translation, brings mm-hmm. down as a Jew that wrote from the
North? Yeah, he's a Jew. He's a Jew, but he was more modernized. And he wrote, you know, he was like a historian, but it's considered Sifrei Chitzonim. It's considered like a history book. Right. That's what it is. It's not...
And that's what you want to be able to read it on Shabbat.
Nachon. Therefore, that's something that you should... If I know, Siman Shin Zayin, Saif Tet Zayin is talking about the things that you can't learn, you can't read anytime, and also specifically on Shabbat. Nahon, what are some examples of what Maran says not to read anytime?
Romance books.
Romance novels, he says. Yeah.
Newspapers.
Which he calls Sefer Immanuel. You remember that? That's very
interesting. Sefer Immanuel?
Look in Shulchan Aruch, Katum Farash. Anyway, Shulchan Aruch ani omer lecha. Ene. Bekitzur, it's very important to go through. You have to have a firm grip on Shulchan Aruch. Shas, Poskim, Shulchan Aruch. That's the bedrock of Judaism. It's impossible to go through life as a Jew without, hopefully, master Shas and master the Poskim and master Shulchan Aruch. That's the best. But even if not, at least get your feet wet. Lo ata kulam. Yeah? Now, you're doing a good job. So now,
I have you.
No, it doesn't work that way. I admire Ben. Baruch Hashem. Akadosh Baruch Hu, you know, it's not the quantity of time, because like David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Yemei Shenotenu Bahem Shev'im Shana, V'im Bigvurot Shemonim Shana. We don't have a lot of time on this world. It's what we do at that time. Time is the greatest matana ever. The Admon Migur, the Beis Yisrael, used to say that that's why by Ashkenazim, now it's really become the Minag by Sfaradim also, the Kala buys the Chassan a gold watch. Now it's not gold anymore, because who wants a gold watch? But like a nice watch, nachon? Why? Because the Kala means to tell the Chassan, now you have to start appreciating your time, taking every moment seriously, because the biggest matana ever is time. This moment will never ever come back. It's gone forever. It's a very scary thought. Can you imagine? You can never turn back. That would be great if we could turn back the clock, but it doesn't happen. Anyway, back to Yehudit. She was a tremendous tzaddiket. Yehudit was not the daughter of Yehuda Maccabi. She was actually the daughter of Yehuda Maccabi's grandfather, which is, she was the daughter of Yohanan Kohen Gadol. Yeah? Her uncle. Yeah, his Yehuda Maccabi, because Yehuda was the son of Matitya. Matitya was a son of Yohanan, and Matitya's sister, also a daughter of Yohanan, was Yehudit. There was a city in Yehuda, in what we call modern-day Judea. The city was called Betul. That was the name of the city. And they were taking this Rasha, Greek general, whose name was Helifornos. I tried to look for an English reference for him online. I couldn't find. Antiochus, who actually came later, he was the king. Him, I actually found that there's a lot written on him. His English, if you want to look him up in English, his English name was Antiochus Eupator V. Anyway, that was the... Anyway, that's what they call him in Yodama. I didn't call him that. Anyway, Bekitsur, but Helifornos, I couldn't find any English reference for his name, but he was a general of the Yevanim, and he came and he started doing milchama with the Jews in Betul. And in general, whenever he overcame a city, he slaughtered all of its inhabitants and plundered. It was Balagan Gadol. The Jews over there fought back very valiantly. And he wasn't expecting to have such pushback from the Jews. So what did he do? He says, you know what? I'm not going to waste my resources. I'm going to besiege the city, put up the matzor, wait for them to run out of supplies, food, water, whatever, and then wait for them to surrender, and then I'll get them without having to fight. So he did that, and it took a while, but that's what happened. The Jews inside the city, they came to the elders of the city, to the leaders, and they started convincing them to negotiate with the enemy because they were all going to die of hunger and thirst. So Yehudit was part of that meeting, Yehudit Bat Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and she was there, and she said, do me a favor. She says, I have a plan. I can't tell you what it is, but I have if you want to read these stories, by the way, you can see either in Megillat Antiochus or in Sefer HaMakabim. So Yehudit said, I have an idea in order to overcome the enemy, but you have to give me some time. They said, okay, fine, we're not going to surrender yet. What happened was, she came out, just to finish up before Arvit, she came out of the city, and she was immediately caught by the guards, by the soldiers. They asked her, what are you doing? She said, I need to meet Helifonos, I need to meet the general. What is this about? It's a secret. It's a military secret. I can't share it with you. They took her into the tent. Helifonos saw her. She was all dressed up, royally. He says, you look to me like royalty. Who are you? She said, my name is Yehudit. I'm a Jew from the city that you're besieging, and I am royalty. I'm the daughter of Kohanim Gedolim, and I've come to tell you that the Jews in the city are, you know, they believe very, very much in Hashem Elohi Yisrael, that he's going to save them. But between me and you, I really believe that you are going to be victorious, and therefore I'm trying to, I want to be makdim refu'a lamakah. She says, I want to join your forces first before you conquer. I want to come over to your side. So he was thinking, he was very impressed by her, and he was taken by her beauty and her chokmah. So he said, listen, if you act as a spy for me, and you go in and out of the city, and you bring me intelligence, after the war is over, after the city falls, I'll marry you. She said, okay. Yehudit Be'emet, she did it. She actually was a very, very convincing double agent, and she kept in bringing false secrets to Helifonos, false intelligence about what was going on in the city. One day, Helifonos invited her over for dinner, for a meal, and he prepared a whole big seuda, mamash yafe, and she came over with one of her attendants, one of her amot, with one of her helpers. She came over with, famously, she came with a basket of aged salted cheeses and a big flask of wine. And she said, I can't eat your food. It's not kasher. I can't eat that. You should have thought, like, well, one second. She's okay with marrying a goy, but she wants to keep kosher. Anyway, bekitzer. So she said, I can't eat that. We have to eat this. It's going to start maariv in a second. Maybe I should leave with a cliffhanger and finish it tomorrow. Finish tomorrow's edition. Huh? You can get into trouble.